You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Well, I'll tell you, I loved America before I got here, and I think I love it a whole lot more now. Don't you thank God you've been born in this country? An America worth living in is an America worth praying for. It's America worth dying for. And I just appreciate Pastor Treiber and his dear wife and family and this great church and what it stands for, amen, and for this conference. And what a great need. I don't know if, you know, there's a lot of meetings across this country, but there are meetings that make a difference. And this is a meeting that makes a difference, amen. And no telling how many churches are still open and still carrying the gospel and preaching and standing because of a meeting like this. And I tell you, I've been inspired. I didn't even have time to get nervous tonight. I tell you, I just enjoyed the singing, you know, and usually you get real worked up, and I'm getting nervous now the more I'm talking to you, so I'm just working some of that out. But I tell you, all the singing, the choir singing, the songs, the flags, everything, I'll tell you, if you're a red-blooded American, you got help tonight, amen? And I just appreciate our president. Don't you thank God for our, you know, I like it because he's got a backbone, amen? And what a great encouragement from our commander-in-chief, amen. And I'm proud to be an American tonight, and I'm proud to be a Christian, amen. Thank God for the cross of Calvary and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus, amen. And it's a great hour to be alive. Young people, I want to tell you, you're living in one of the most exciting times to ever live in. And Jesus will no doubt come, I believe, in our lifetime, and we're looking for him, amen? And you're living in exciting days, amen? And I just thank God for the opportunity to be here, looking forward to this week and to all the preachers, and my heart's already been encouraged and helped. I listened to the messages on yesterday, and what great day already the Lord has blessed. And I want to preach tonight from 2 Chronicles chapter 15, and while you're turning there, I want to just say this, and every preacher that is in the house would understand what I'm about to say, but you know, sometimes you get a message, and you know, I had a message that I thought, well, I'm going to come and preach this message here at this conference, and then the Lord just spoke to me. He said, you know, I want you to preach this sermon that it's an old sermon that was, I don't know, it's probably been several years ago. And it just kind of scratched in on the fly leaf of my Bible. You preachers know what I'm talking about. It's nothing fancy, not anything worked up or anything like that. You know, sometimes God gives us messages and then we work on them and we ruin them. Amen. And well, this is just one of those where he said, just, you know, I just scribbled it on the side of the Bible. And but it's what's in my heart tonight. And I don't want to preach anything to try to impress, but I want to preach tonight and be obedient to the Holy Spirit and just do what he laid on our heart to do tonight. So 2 Chronicles chapter number 15, if you're able to stand with us in reverence to the Word of God in prayer, we'll read a few verses of Scripture and pray, and then we'll let you be seated. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, and notice with me in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa, and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long season Israel hath been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel, and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexation were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. Nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. When Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage, and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord and that was before the porch of the Lord. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon, For they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. Father, Lord, I do ask you for help tonight. I realize, Lord, that without you there is no preaching. God, I need you tonight. America needs you tonight. Every man of God, every ministry in this building tonight, we realize that we need you. And Lord, we lift our eyes into the hills from whence cometh our help. Our help cometh from the Lord. God, I pray tonight that you would help us these next few moments. Help me not to say anything that would grieve the Holy Spirit in any way. But God, I pray that you would be glorified. I pray that your Son would be magnified, and may the church be edified tonight. Help us, Lord, to receive with meekness the engrafted word, and may we see no man save Jesus only. And we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. I want to draw your attention to verse number 1 and 2, and I want you to note in these two verses that we see both a prophet and a politician. Of course, Azariah is the prophet of God, and Asa is the king of Judah. He is the king of that southern kingdom, the third king of Judah, who reigned for 41 years. And so we can read much about Asa's life in chapter 14, 15, and 16. We know that Asa was a man that trusted God. He was a king that trusted God and looked to God. But we know that he also had his failures and his fault, and his life certainly did not end the way that it started out. But when we come to this text tonight, what I want you to note in verse number 1 and 2 is that God makes it very clear that the office of a prophet is greater than the office of a politician. Amen? While I'm not minimizing the king, and I'm not minimizing who Asa is, and no doubt God used him, but when God got ready to say something to a nation, he did not call a politician to deliver that message. He called a preacher. Amen? And it tells me tonight that the greatest hope and the greatest answer in 2026 in our country is not going to be in the politicians that are running the government, but it's going to be men of God that are standing in the pulpits across this nation. If there's ever been an hour when we need preachers in this hour. And when we come to this text tonight, we notice that Asa has a message. And you know, there's a difference in a man that has a sermon and a preacher, a God-called preacher, that has a message. Amen? When Azariah comes to Asa, you will note that he has a message. And what I want you to see in this text in verse number 1 is the blessing of that message, because the Bible says, and the Spirit of God came upon Azariah the son of Odeah. What we note about the blessing of his message is the authority of that message. For it was not Azariah that was doing the preaching, it was the Spirit of God. Amen? In other words, when it comes to preaching, a man of God must be filled with the Spirit of God. I think we don't hear as much preaching about being filled with the Holy Spirit in this day like we used to. And perhaps the reason for that is many preachers do not preach on something that they have never experienced. Amen? But you know as well as I do that preaching without an anointing is absolutely not effective. Amen? So Azariah has the authority. God has laid his hand upon him. He has the anointing. That is the blessing of that message. Notice the Bible says that the Spirit of God came upon Azariah. And I understand that when we get saved, the Holy Spirit indwells us. But I think you know what I'm talking about when God puts his hand on his man. Amen? You see, preaching tonight is not a profession. It's a calling. Amen? I'm not preaching for a paycheck tonight. I'm not preaching for a pat on the back. Not preaching tonight, amen, for another meeting. I tell you, deep inside of every God-called preacher, there's a flame that burns that has never quit burning. Amen. From the day that God calls you, that flame may flicker, but I want to tell you the fire of God is shut up in a man of God's bones and it never goes out. Amen. I'm telling you, you can preach today, but you'll want to preach again tomorrow, and you'll want to preach again the next day. I'm talking about the blessing of Azariah's message. Amen. And then I want to note the boldness of Azariah's message. Notice in verse number 2, the Bible says here that he went out to meet Asa. And we notice the boldness in his message, in his coming to King Asa. In Bible days, you know this, that you did not go into the presence of a king unannounced. You did not go into his presence invited. Amen? Uninvited. But Azariah goes in anyway. He comes to meet him. He's ready to meet
meet this king. There's no fear in walking into his presence. I want to say that's probably because Azariah had already been in the presence of another king, a king that was even greater than Asa. Amen. I want to say, my friend, that when God's men get in the secret place and they get in the private place and they get in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, it puts boldness on the inside, and there's boldness in his coming to Asa. And then there's boldness in his crying. Notice what he said in verse number 2. He said, "Hear ye me, Asa." If there's anything a man of God wants when he preaches, he wants people to listen to what he has to say. I want to say there's a difference in hearing a sermon and listening to it. And he comes to him, he says, "Hear ye me, Asa." He has a message from God. I would say to everyone here that is not a preacher, every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival nights that you go to church, you ought to tune in to the message. Amen. Don't get so used to your preacher's voice that you miss the voice of God. For if God is going to say anything to you, he's going to use your pastor. Amen. The evangelists may come and missionaries come through, and thank God for that. I'll tell you, if God's going to give you something that's going to help you down life's road and get you, over the next hilltop, he's going to use that man that preaches to you week in and week out. And this man has a message, and there's boldness in his crying. He said, "Asa, I want you to hear what I have to say." Then there's boldness in his clarity. I like what he says in verse number 2 because it's crystal clear. He said, "The Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." When you think about that message, it's so clear, isn't it? The boldness of this man, this prophet, when he comes before Asa, he's not playing around. You can tell that. He's not trying to dress or doctor this sermon up. He's not trying to ease into a conversation with Asa. He's not fearful of the king. He knows that he doesn't have time to try to make the message profound or pretty. But what he does is he just gives a crystal clear message that anyone can understand. I want to say, my friend, that is true today. We need men of God that'll get such a burning desire down in their soul that'll take this King James Bible and they'll stand and preach it with clarity. While I'm for outlines and I'm for sermons and all these preparation things, more than we need an outline, what we need is the inline. Amen. We need to be in tune with God. We need to know what it is that God wants to say to his people, and we need to deliver that message without the fear, without the favor of man, and we need to deliver it without apology. Amen. I want to say this message is still true today, isn't it? That if we as America will seek God, we will find him. But if we forsake him, he will forsake us. And I see the boldness of his message, but notice the beginning of his message in verse 3. He says, "Now for a long season, Israel has been without three things. They have been without the true God, they have been without a teaching priest, and they've been without law." When you think about them being without the true God, that had to do with their worship. You see, Israel knew how to worship. They knew the ceremonies. They knew what was expected. They knew that the format, if you will. When it came to worshiping Jehovah, they knew exactly what Jehovah had laid out, and they knew how to worship. The only problem was they were missing the key element. That is his presence. They knew the formalism of it. They knew what was expected, much like churches today. They know what to do. They know how to worship. They know what's expected in worship. But there's one thing that none of us can produce. We can put together a service. We can come in and we can have the order. We can have the structure. We can prepare the sermon. But there's one thing that none of us can do. We must have his presence. Amen. We cannot produce the presence of God. God was upset with Judah. God was upset with their sinful ways. And because of that, they were without the true God. It had to do with their worship. Then they were without a teaching priest. That had to do with their wisdom. You see, the responsibility of a priest was to tell the people what was right and what was wrong. And they were without a teaching priest. Boy, I thank God for preachers that have preached to us down through the years and have told us what was right and told us what was wrong. Thank God for old-timey, Holy Ghost, heaven-sent, heartfelt, Mount Sinai, leather lung, forked lightning preaching. Amen. You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when a man of God, amen, gets full of the Holy Spirit. He comes with a burning desire on his heart. He takes the text that God has given him, and he sees nothing but the sermon. Amen. He doesn't see the deep pockets. He doesn't see the size of the crowd. He just gets up and pulls both barrels back, amen, and fires at the same time. Amen. I'm telling you, that's the kind of preaching I got in on, and that's the kind of preaching I plan on going out on. Amen. It may not suit everybody's fancy, but I'll tell you one thing. It kept my soul out of hell. Amen. It's put homes back together. It's built strong churches. Amen. I want to say in this hour, if there's ever been a time when we need men of God to get filled with the Spirit of God and preach like a dying man to dying people, it's the hour that we're living in. I want to say tonight that they were without a teaching priest. Then they were without law. This had to do with their way of living. They weren't without the law. They had the commandments. But they were without law. What that means is that every man was doing what was right in his own eyes. Now, if you put these things together and think about it, whenever you get to the place where there's no presence of God and there's no real preaching going on in a church, people just live any old way. Worship will put you in line, won't it? You know, I worked real hard to get this couple to our church at one time. I mean, it took me probably about 3 months. I went to their house several times, young couple. And finally on a Sunday night, they said, you know what, we're going to come to church. And it's a beautiful family, young family. I was so excited they came to church. And the choir got up singing, Brother Tony, and they were sitting back there about 10 rows back. And I had a lady over here about 84 years old. She started shouting. Amen. And they got nervous like some of y'all are getting nervous, and I'm just talking about it. And then we had somebody over here start shouting. Then I had a guy get up, and he got shouting down the middle of the aisle, and I seen him look at her, and he poked her, and he said, let's get out of here. I mean, I read his lips 10 rows up back. Amen. And they got up, they packed up. Man, I hated that. He said, what did y'all do? We just kept on shouting. I'm glad we got something to shout about. Hey, if the world can shout over a football game, if the world can shout over a baseball game, surely we can get a little bit excited about not going to hell. Amen. Surely we can get a little bit excited about going to heaven. Amen. I'm talking about, I'm glad I got something to shout about. Hey, I'm not what I ought to be, and I'm not what I want to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. Amen. And I'm not what I'm going to be. Hallelujah. The beginning of this message. But when you get to verse number 4, here's what he's going to do. Azariah is going to help King Asa put the nation back on the road to revival. And I want to preach just a few more minutes tonight on that subject, on the road to revival. America needs revival tonight. The churches in America need revival tonight. As that choir was singing, my mind was thinking about preachers across this country. Men of God that have stood faithful and have preached strong down through the years. And we need those men. I thought about across this country from coast to coast, from east to west, from north to south, from the New England area down to the deep south, to the Midwest, to the western coast. There's men of God everywhere preaching. Some are in big cities, some are in little one red light towns, and some are out in the desert, some are in hollers. But all across this country, God has got people scattered throughout this nation. And the hope of America tonight lies within walls of our churches, in our pulpits, in our pews. And there's still hope for this country tonight. We've not lost hope in this hour. You say, but we're in the last days. But God can still send revival in these last days. You say, but America is sin sick. So was Nineveh, but God was still able to send revival. So was Judah, but God was still able to send revival. I'm telling you, God can turn the tide if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. You either believe that verse or don't tonight. I believe it's still as real tonight as it was the day it was written, and God is still able to send revival. He's going to help this king put this nation back on the road to revival. Three things tonight concerning the road to revival. I want to say first of all tonight that it is a road of remembrance. Look what he does in verse number four. He says to him, he says in verse number four, he takes Asa back down memory's road, memory's lane. He said, but when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel. He reminds Asa of Israel's trouble. You see, trouble was a tool that God uses to drive his people to their knees. He would bless his people. They would walk away from him. God would turn them over into the hand of an enemy that in return would be the trouble that they would need that would drive them back to God once again. We read of that cycle over and over in the nation of Israel. And God has certainly done that down through the history of time. He reminds them, he said, but when they in their trouble, I want to say I'm glad that God is a very present help in time of trouble. I'm glad that he is our refuge and our strength. Oh, America is in trouble tonight, but I don't want to hang my hat so much on the trouble as much as I do the God that is a refuge in that trouble. You see, Job was just a man. And in Job 14 and verse 1, he said, man that is born of a woman is few days and he's full of trouble. And I'm reminded of another man in John 14, 1, who said something about trouble. And he said, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. I want to say in troublesome times, God is still on the throne. In troublesome times, this Bible still works. In troublesome times, God still answers prayer. And in troublesome times, we can still have revival. Say, Brother Gravely, how are we going to do that? We just need to remember. You remember the days of old. You remember revivals that God sent in the past. You remember times when God moved, when it looked like there was no movement of God, but here he would bless maybe a special service, a revival meeting. Remember those days when God brought revival. The God of yesterday is still the God of today, and he's the God of tomorrow. Amen. And he remembers, he reminds him of the trouble. He reminds him of their turning. Look what he said. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel. You know what God is waiting for tonight? He's waiting for his people to turn to him. What a great challenge, what a great commitment we made tonight to pray 125 days for this nation. You know what would be a great challenge to us tonight is this, that if we pray 125 days, I don't think we'll stop. I think when you've prayed 125 days for something, you will pray 126 days. Amen. And 127 Amen. Days. And that's what God wants tonight. He wants us to turn to him. I believe the reason that President Trump is in office right now, when you think about everything that was thrown at him, everything, the trying to take his life, all the false charges that have been brought against him, you think about everything that has happened to that man, and he's in office again. We never thought we would see that, a stolen election, everything else that has happened, but yet he's standing tall again. I'm gonna tell you what brought that about. It's the hand of Almighty God, amen. I'm going to tell you why God did that. It's because God's people got desperate. God's people got serious and said, you know what? Our nation is in trouble. We're going down. We're going under. I believe for the first time in a long time, some people begin to look up and cry and say, oh God, would you help us? You've done it in days of old. Would you do it one more time? And God in wrath remembered mercy. And God has blessed us. Hallelujah. I know things are not perfect tonight. But we're a whole lot better off now than we was just a little while ago. And God is using that, I think, to show his people what can happen when we cry out to him. He said, Asa, just remember. Remember the God of yesterday. Remember what he's done in the past. Oh, I want to say, when I think about as a boy growing up and as a bus kid, I didn't know God, but when I got saved, I want to tell you, I got in a good church. Amen. I mean, in a good old-fashioned church. I didn't know anything about any of this. But I'll tell you, when I got in it, I got in a good place, Brother Tony. I got under some good men that walked with God, was filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, they pulled you in and they helped you along the way. And they cared about you. They loved you. I saw them yesterday. I watched the service and saw all those bus kids sitting up in the balcony. I'll tell you, that's the hope of America. Amen. Keep running those buses. Keep picking them up. Keep bringing them to Sunday school. Keep putting them up in the balcony. You never know what God's going to do. I'm telling you, there may be a great preacher sitting up there. There may be a great preacher's wife. There may be a great missionary's wife. It'll be worth every tank of fuel you ever put in a bus. It'll be worth every door you ever knocked on. I'm talking about the saving of America. Maybe sitting in your balcony every single Sunday. I want to say thank God for America. When I first went to church, I didn't even have a Bible. And I got on that church bus. I need to move on. Let me just tell this story. I got saved. And I thought about this the other day. I forgot about it a long time, Brother Tony. And it come to me the other day. Somebody in my house, I don't know if it was my mom or dad, somebody had what we thought was a Bible. And I remember the Sunday school teacher, she gave us Romans 10:13 to memorize. And so I went home and I asked my mom, there's a Bible. And she said, well, we got a Bible. And so I opened it up and it was an NIV. I didn't know it was an NIV because I didn't even know there was a difference back then. And I can remember laying in the living room floor and I started reading that verse. And I thought, this don't sound like the verse she gave me in Sunday school. And I kept reading it over and over, and I said, no, I don't think that's what she was saying, but it's a Bible. And I remember taking that thing, and I just threw it in the, we had an old carport, and I thought, this thing ain't no good. And I threw it in a little, we had a little laundry room, and I just threw it in that laundry room, and I said, well, I don't know what that is, but my mom's wrong, that's not a Bible. And so the next Sunday, I didn't have my verse memorized. And then a little while later, I got saved. And when I got on the bus after I got saved, I always sat on the third row on the right side. And when I started down and went to get in my seat, there was a Bible laid in that seat. And I thought, well, somebody's done left their Bible there. But I looked down and it had my name on it. It's a little dime store Bible. Had my name stamped on it in gold. And there was a highlighter and there was a notepad and an ink pen. And I sit on that bus and I looked at that Bible on my way to church. I'm going to tell you something. I wished I still had that Bible. I wouldn't have took all the money in the world for it. And at the Word of God, I remember the times. Don't you remember what God has done for you down through the years? You think about it. If it wasn't for God, you wouldn't be here right now. I don't know what pit he pulled you out of or what ditch he pulled you out of, but I know he pulled you out of a deep pit David talked about. He pulled you out of the miry clay. It might have been the miry clay of religion, or it might have been the miry clay of sin somewhere else, but I'm going to tell you, I'm just glad he found me. Hallelujah. Don't you thank God tonight you're sitting in the house of God? You're saved by the grace of God. They sung about the cross, and I thought about it's just the grace of God that any of us would have ever found the foot of the cross. But I remember the goodness of God tonight. You want to have revival? Just remember. I opened my refrigerator one day. I remember growing up, so I'd open that refrigerator when I was a kid, and because of alcohol and sin, a lot of times I'd open that refrigerator and they wouldn't be anything in there but a six-pack of beer.
Boy, when you're hungry sometimes. You know, I hear people sometimes fuss about feeding bus kids, but if you've ever been hungry, I say feed them. But after me and my wife got married a few years, I went in there one day and opened that fridge. When I opened the refrigerator, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, said, look in there, son. Said, you see all that food in there? You know who put that food in there? You remember when the refrigerator was empty and now it's full? And he said, there's no beer in there. Never has been. But there's been Bibles on your coffee table. He just reminded me of how good he has been to me. I deserve to be in hell tonight. I don't deserve to be here tonight. But I tell you, I thank God for his goodness and his mercy. And if he's God enough to save us, he's God enough to keep us. Amen. And if he's God enough to keep us out of hell, he's God enough to send revival in this hour. If we'll just remember the times that we were in trouble and we turned to him. I had some trouble come up just the other day. Nobody knows about it but my wife. And when I got that news, me and her, we just said, we're going to trust God and pray together. Amen. And for 10 days, we had to wait for an answer. And I remember one morning about 3:00, the Lord woke me up and I went into the bathroom and I don't normally tell this, but I want to tell this. I got on my knees. I said, God, I'm no better than anybody else. But Lord, if you'll do this for me, you don't have to, but if you will do this for me, I will publicly thank you for it. I'm going to thank you either way, but if you'll do this one thing for your glory and your honor, and he did. One phone call on a Friday evening, he answered it. And I said, Lord, I'm going to thank you for that wherever I go, because I don't deserve it. He's never answered one of my prayers based on merit. But he's answered all of them on mercy. And I'm telling you tonight, if we'll just remember, God still can. God's still able. Young people, you hear me, the God of the 70s and the 80s and the 90s, he's the same God in 2026. You call upon him. You cry out to him. What he's done for others, he'll do for you tonight. And I want to say the many other things. He reminds them of their triumph. The Bible said that when they turned and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times, there was no peace to him that went out or him that came in, but great vexation, whereupon all the inhabitants of the countries and nation was destroyed of nation, city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. God took care of them. The road to revival tonight is a road of remembrance. If America would just remember who has blessed them and who has been good to them, could have revival. Then the road to revival is a road of reassurance. Look at verse 7. He said, be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. He reassures the king, number one, to be strong. We need some strong Christians in this hour. This is not a time to compromise. This is not a time to change course. This is not a time to cool down or back up or let up. No, this is a time to march on. Amen. This is a time to stand true and to stand tall and to draw clear lines to where we stand and who we are and which side of the battle that we are on. He said, Asa, he said, you be strong. Isn't that what the Bible said in Ephesians 6 and verse 10? He said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen. It's important that we not operate in the energy of our flesh, but in the power of the Spirit. Amen. For if a preacher is not filled with the Holy Spirit, he will be filled with some spirit. It may be a spirit of envy. It may be a spirit of pride. It may be a spirit of jealousy. It may be a spirit of self-promotion. There'll be some spirit that will overtake you. But if you'll be filled, if you'll yield and be filled with the Holy Spirit and let him empower you, you can be strong in this hour. Don't run in your own strength. The arm of flesh will surely fail you. And I want to say tonight, the power of Jesus was led by the Spirit because he was filled with the Spirit. Spirit-filled preachers. Thank God for the road revival. He said, be strong. It's a road of reassurance. He reassures her, be strong. And then he says, be steadfast. Look what he said. Let not your hands be weak. In other words, Asa, finish what you start. Don't let your hands be weak. Jesus said, if any man puts his hand to the plow and looks back, he's not fit. You got to plow a straight row in this hour. I can remember growing up, and we planted gardens as a kid, and my dad would always say, we had that front tine tiller, you know, and you had to hang on to it with a tight grip. And I remember my dad would always say, don't look back. Now, if you look back, the row will be crooked. Don't look back. You just look straight ahead. Look to the end of that row. He would say, plow till you get to the end of the row. And I want to say, preacher, that's what we need to do in this hour. We need to set the plow deep. We need to plow and not look back. We need to plow till we get to the end of the row. Amen. And thank God we're almost to the end. So just keep on plowing. Keep on preaching. Whether it's a house full or a handful, you get full of God. Don't worry about the house getting full. And just preach. Amen. God called you to fill a pulpit, not fill a church. You preach the word of God and you plow on for the glory of God and let the Lord use you. Hallelujah. Preach. Preach in power. Preach with strength. Don't change Bibles. Amen. Don't change your doctrine. Thank God I'm not a Calvinist. Somebody say amen. I believe in a whosoever will gospel. Thank God red, yellow, black, or white, they're all precious in His sight. Amen. I believe every creature needs a preacher. Amen. Give the gospel everywhere you go. Amen. Preach it. Amen. Preach like a dying man to dying people. And don't let up. Amen. Every sermon counts. Every minute counts. When you go to that pulpit, whether there's five, whether there's 50, you pull the hammer back and preach. Preach with the power of God. Preach on, man of God. Preach on. Amen. Preach. Preach when they're happy. Preach when they're sad. Preach when they're mad and preach when they're glad. Amen. Preach when you got money and preach when you're broke. Amen. Preach when they shout and preach when they pout. Amen. I mean, just preach. Amen. Preach and preach and preach. I want to say the preaching of the word will still get the job done. Amen. Man, I love preaching, don't you? I love it. I love it so much I'm trying to find an exit right now. But I'm telling you, don't you love preaching? I love to preach and I love to hear preaching. Amen. I love God anointed preaching. Bible preaching. Preaching that's got a burden. Preaching that's got a touch. Amen. I'm telling you, preaching will make you want to serve God. Preaching will make you want to live right. Preaching will make you want to carry on. Preaching will make you want to shout. Preaching will make you want to stand. I'm telling you, the more I say preach, the more I like it. Amen. I'm telling you, preaching will make you go soul winning. Preaching will make you knock on doors. Preaching will make you want to tell somebody about the Savior. I'm talking about preaching. It'll strengthen your soul. It'll put fire in your bones. It'll put steel in your heart. Preaching will make you want to go on another mile for the glory of God. There's times I preached and made contact, and there's times I've struck out preaching. We might as well tell the truth. I love my church. I love our people. And there's times I've preached and just struck out. And they'll come by every Sunday morning, Sunday night, they'll say, that was a great sermon. I had a young preacher tell me, he preached one time when I was gone, and he said, you hear about the service Wednesday night? I said, no. He said, well, they told me I did a good job. I said, don't believe that. He said, what do you mean? I said, they tell me that every service. I said, you think I do good every service? I said, they're just kind. I said, let it go in one ear and out the other. But I'm telling the truth is, sometimes you make contact. Sometimes, preacher, you strike out, don't you? Sometimes they say amen. Sometimes they look at you like they don't know what you're talking about. But on them Sundays when you go home, maybe Sunday morning and you struck out and it was a little bit hard, and you just go home and you don't even ask your wife what she thinks about it because you already know how it went. Amen.
But when it gets about 4 o'clock that evening, guess what? It doesn't matter if you did strike out. Hey, some start rising back up about 4 o'clock. Brother Jeremy, you start thinking, you know what? I believe I'll go back down to church. I believe I'll just try it one more time. I might have struck out this time, but I tell you, for every one time you make contact, amen, there's something in you that makes you just want to keep on preaching, amen. I feel good in my soul right now. Thank God for the preaching of this book. Hallelujah. It'll light a fire in you, thank God, that all the devils of hell won't put out. And I want to say the road to revival is a road of reassurance. He reassures him to be strong, be steadfast, and to be sure your work shall be rewarded. Man of God, I don't know where you pastor, don't know how many people you pastor, but I know one thing. If you'll just stay faithful, America needs you. That little one red light town, yes. We need them little country churches. Them handfuls of people in them one red light towns. You say, why do we need them? Because there's some little boy, some little girl down the road. They're going to walk in some little old white frame church somewhere with a man of God that maybe is bivocational, but he's got the touch of God on him and he preaches the gospel. And they're going to walk the aisle and they're going to get saved and God's going to change their life for time and eternity. And great is going to be your reward in heaven. Don't you throw in the towel. Don't you quit. You just stay where God put you. You just put your hand to the plow and keep on preaching. God needs you there. You just be faithful and you be reassured it's going to be rewarded one of these days. See, when we get to heaven, God is not going to measure our ministry based on how big or little it was. He's not going to roll out our schedule books. It'll all be burned up. God has one measuring stick at the judgment seat, and it's faithfulness. Faithful over many, faithful over few, but at the end, all you need to hear him say is, well done. Thou good and faithful servant. That's the greatest thing that'll ever be said to us, is that we were faithful. 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 The road to revival is a road of remembrance, a road of reassurance. And then finally, note this with me tonight, it's a road of repentance. You can't have revival without repentance. Verse 8 says, and when Asa heard these words, and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, look what he did. The Bible says he took courage. Can I tell you tonight, it takes courage to repent. I know it takes humility, but it takes courage. Courage to overcome the flesh. Courage to not worry about what somebody else thinks. Courage to be open and honest before God. To not sweep our sin under the rug. Courage to say, it is me, O Lord. They're standing in the need of prayer. You know, it doesn't matter, preachers, we know, it doesn't matter how many invitations we give. Why is it sometimes it still takes courage to step out of that aisle and come to this altar? And when Asa heard these words, that's what preaching does. It gives us courage. It gives us courage that God can, and it gives us courage that we can. And Asa took courage. And I see that this road to revival of repentance, it took courage, but it also takes cleanliness. Look, the Bible said he put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah. You know, America has a lot of idols tonight. The God of mammon, the God of sports, the God of entertainment, so many gods, the God of materialism. I'm not saying that some of these things in and of themselves are not wrong for certain, but America is drunk on these things tonight. And you know as well as I do, in many of our churches, we have substituted the commitment and time to serve God and to give more to God for certain things. I want to say tonight that it's more important for your son or your daughter to be in Sunday school than to be on a ball field. You say, Brother Gravely, are you against ball? No, I'm not against ball. I'm just against playing ball during Sunday school. I'm against them missing Wednesday night prayer meeting.
You say, but I just teach them when they make a commitment, they need to keep that commitment. That's right. And their commitment to God and their commitment to their local church ought to come before any other commitment in this world. Amen. I'm just saying tonight that America has got so drunk on these things that it has bled into our churches, and we must cleanse ourselves from all these idols in our life. When I got saved, they preached against everything. I'm talking about everything. I mean, listen, breathing, eating Hershey candy bars. It didn't work me. Do I look normal to y'all tonight? Don't answer that. But I got saved and started going to camp meetings, and man, they were blowing everything out and blowing everybody out. I remember sitting back there thinking, man, I can't do nothing anymore. I was afraid to get up and go to the bathroom. Somebody would run over you shouting. And it's sermon after sermon. And now they're preaching on everything. They preached against smoking. They preached against chewing. Hey, when you preach against chewing tobacco in the South, the deep South where I live, where we live, amen. I mean, you're really sticking your neck out there, aren't you? They preached against everything. I mean, they preached against long hair on men and short hair on women. Amen. They preached against pants and dresses and televisions. Amen. Do any of y'all remember any of this? Yes, sir. You say, what did you think about it? Man, I was a bus kid. I loved it. If it was mean, I thought it was great. Profanity was a second language in our house. So when I went to church and they laid the law down, I thought, man, this is great. I feel right at home right here. I didn't know you could get mad at preaching. They preached on everything. And you know what? I never had to recover over it. I never got bitter over it. I never went home and said, you know what? I don't want anything. No, there was a drawing magnitude. You say, was it all right? Probably not. But I'll tell you one thing. People lived cleaner, amen, whether they wanted to or not, amen. They lived holy, and the presence of God was real. And I thought, I don't know if all this is right, but I know one thing. I sure like where I'm at, amen. I'm telling you, you went to church, and the hallelujahs rolled, and people gave a hand wave, and people said amen, and sinners walked the aisle, and they got saved, and they got baptized, and the choir had power, and the preacher had power. You know why? Because people weren't afraid to repent, amen. You see, repentance don't end when you get saved. It just begins. And repentance is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. And cleanliness. You want the power of God in your life, ask the Lord to help you take out those things. And then it takes construction. Notice this. The Bible says after that, they renewed the altar of the Lord. They built back the things that needed to be built. And then it took a congregation. He gathered all Judah and Benjamin and strangers with them without, and Manasseh. It takes a congregation to have revival. What a great congregation tonight. Finally, it took a commitment. Notice the Bible said they fell to him out of Israel in abundance. Why? Because of the confidence. Look at this. When they saw that the Lord his God was with him. You know, when you get under preaching that's got power on it, it'll move you. Power, the power of God will move you. I thank God for intellect. I thank God for men that have great knowledge of the Bible. Could I tell you tonight, and you know this to be true, we've all heard the men stand that didn't even have a formal education. They didn't have the knowledge, and I'm not against this tonight. Please don't misunderstand me. They just didn't have the training and the knowledge that other men had. But they walked with God. And they had power. And they could take a simple text, and God would get behind them. And their preaching did more than touch the intellect. It challenged the will of men and women to serve God. That's what America needs tonight. I would like to close by reading one little thing that I read, and I wrote this down in the motel. A man by the name of Edward Gibbon, He studied the Roman Empire, and in 1979, he cited five primary causes for the destruction of a great society. These five things are this. The first is the rapid increase in divorce and the undermining of the sanctity of the home. The second one is the spiraling rise of taxes and extravagant spending. The third is the mounting craze for pleasure and brutalization of sports. The fourth is the building of gigantic armaments and the failure to realize that the real enemy lay within the gates of the empire and the moral decay of its people. And finally, the fifth is the decay of religion and the fading of faith into a more form, leaving the people without a guide. You see, in the 1960s, America lost her morality. In the 70s, she lost her purity. In the 80s, she lost her decency. In the 90s, she lost her sanity. In the early 2000s, America lost her security. And today, she's losing her liberty. And while we hear these great songs about our nation that we so love tonight, I believe there's a great call from heaven to every one of us to bring our nation back to God. It will not be done through military strength, and I love that. It will not be done through economic wealth, but it'll be done through the power of prayer. God's people, God's preachers, standing tall. Man of God, this is your hour to stand when it counts, to preach, to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And as we stand tonight and as they come and get us a song ready, I don't know if you need to use this altar, but I know America needs you to use this altar tonight. Our nation, I know our churches across this country, needs every one of us to leave this meeting with a greater burden and a greater desire. You're the hope. You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. Heavenly Father, tonight as we come to you, Lord, we cry out to you tonight because we know that our only hope is in you tonight. And what a hope we have. God, send revival. I pray for every church, for every man of God, for every ministry that's in this building. Lord, I pray for this church. I pray for every state that is represented here in country and those that may be listening tonight. I pray tonight that you'll put a burning desire in our heart. Lord, give us a desire to hunger for revival like we've never hungered before. Help us to make a commitment, God, that we'll seek your face for revival in these last days like we never have. Thank you. Thank you so much for this great nation you've blessed us with. And may God truly bless America. Lord, tonight, have your way. Bless this invitation now in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.